Doula Dispensary, the podcast prescribing a weekly dose of all things doula. The dilemmas discussed are made-up scenarios, and any resemblance to actual persons or events are purely coincidental. Please welcome your hosts, Siobhan and myself, Kiki. Hello, Siobhan.
Hello, Kiki. And we are back.
Yay, yay. Here we are. We have been absent in body and mind.
Literally. But we are back for season three.
We are. And we're very excited to be able to provide this new series to you, because we actually looked the other day, and how many downloads have we had now? Was it 26,000?
Yeah, it was something like that, wasn't it? It was a lot.
And we discovered that we have got this loyal audience over in the States.
Yes.
And across the world.
Yeah. So, yeah, international listeners, which is great.
Which is really exciting. And just due to various things that happened.
Life.
Yeah, mainly. We are back now and we are going to be producing an episode every month.
Yeah, so once a month we're back with our dilemmas, our
doula dose.
Doula dose. We have to try and remember the format of the show.
What else do we do?
Lots of bear with us for the first couple of episodes, maybe, while we try and remember how this all works. But we are very pleased to be back, and we hope you enjoy season three.
Yeah, so let's crack on.
Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Now it's time for
Doula Dilemmas.
As you can hear, we've still got a great singing voice. So this month's dilemma is: a doula is at a birth and everything is going really well in the room. Then there's a shift change and the new midwife that comes in has a completely different energy. What can the doula do in this situation?
Interesting dilemma. You still got it, Siobhan.
Still got it.
Is it all coming back to you?
It is, yeah.
Oh, wow. Do you know, has this ever happened to you?
Yes. Has it happened to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And do you know what? Sometimes it can be
the other way around.
Yes.
It can be positive.
It can be a really good thing.
Yeah.
But are we looking at this as being a bad thing?
I think we're looking at this as being not so great, because otherwise it wouldn't be a dilemma.
No.
You're hardly going to complain if somebody comes in and makes everything so much nicer. That's not really a dilemma.
No. So give us a more example of this situation, or...
So I suppose,
what does she do differently? What's the different energy all about? So,
well, coming in, I guess, full of adrenaline and you know, a lot of talking, maybe quite fast, quite high pitched.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe the other midwife has been really calm.
Yeah.
Nice, serene voice, low tone, matching the room. Perhaps the room has got, you know, some nice lighting in it. Bit of aromatherapy going on, bit of a sort of spa vibe.
The galaxy
lamps going, everyone's high on, you know, the old aromatherapy oils, everyone's chilled out.
Yeah.
We all feel like we've had a nice massage.
And then this midwife
And then in comes
in.
Right, okay, I'm on the new shift, you know, my name is Siobhan, here I am to take over. Right, what's going on here? Let's have a look at this trace, what's happening? I mean, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
read the room, love.
I know. And it also, I guess, depends also on what point in labour they come in.
Yeah.
Because it's that the worst thing sometimes is if you're ready to push, like transitioning in a transition stage into this, you know, second stage of labour.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes that can be a good thing, as I said, but this can also have a real... Like, what happens when your clients then turn around and they're like, oh, I don't like this midwife? Because you can see that, can't you, on your client's face?
Yeah, you can. It's difficult, isn't it? I suppose, because if you are in second stage and you're actively pushing, I mean, what do you do?
Yeah.
Actively pushing at that point. Yeah, it's a difficult one. It is a difficult one.
I mean, some of the things that I'm sure you will all know about, and you as well, Siobhan, you know, when someone's really loud in a room, you can whisper back, like,
oh, hello, nice to meet
you. Well, that's
you.
The thing. If yeah. That's what I'm saying. It, I suppose it depends on... If I walked into a room,
yeah.
It doesn't matter what situation I've come from.
No.
Okay? You know, if I've walked into a room and it's like, oh, it's all like candles
yeah.
and, you know, there's serene music playing.
Nice smells.
Nice smells. Nobody else is talking.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably take the hint
yeah.
that they're looking for a certain vibe.
Yes.
And I'd mirror that. Yes. You know, if I walked into a room where it's very brightly lit, there's a lot of noise, I would probably look at the person in labour and just see how do they find that?
Yeah.
How is that for them? How's that working for them? Yeah. Do they like it? Would they like the lights down? Yeah. So, yeah, it's about reading the room, isn't it?
I think it's putting birth physiology at the forefront of what you're doing, because if you are focusing on that, you understand the environment is so important. But why is it that midwives kind of miss that? What is it that might potentially be causing a midwife to act like this? Is it because she feels unsure? Is it because she thinks this is the best way to be? Like,
it could be a number of factors. She may have just come from quite a highly... Oh, no, she's just come on shift, hasn't
yeah.
she?
But maybe, I don't know, maybe you just get into being a certain way
yeah.
and then you just continue being that. Like, we all do things and we feel comfortable doing it the way we've always done it. That's why it's so hard to change things.
Yeah.
And maybe in the hospital environment when you are a midwife, maybe this is a way of surviving. I'm not sure. But as a doula, it still makes it really tricky because we can't really say, excuse me, but could you keep the noise down? I mean I've read a lot lately about advocating for our clients and how you do that by looking at our clients and talking to them and saying, but you can hardly say, oh, the midwife that just walked into the room is being very noisy. What would you like the midwife to be less noisy? Like,
yeah, I know. It's you have to, there's a lot of things to weigh up. But as doulas, we do need to call people out. That's surely...
Yeah.
You wouldn't want your client to turn around to you later and say, when that midwife came yeah. on shift, like, why did you not...
Yeah.
Like, why did you not sort anything out? Like, yeah. why didn't you say anything to her?
So would you take her outside? Would you say, could I have a quick word?
I think I'd probably chicken out and ask the partner to do it.
Yeah. And how would you tell the partner?
I would just, well, I'm sure, I mean, the situations I've been in where that's happened, one that I can think of, the partner straight away was on it.
Yeah, yes.
You know, and I said, well, you know, you can always just, you know, take her outside and yeah. maybe just explain, you know, how it's been.
Yes.
And he did. He was quite happy to do that.
Yeah.
But sometimes you do work with people that obviously don't like any form of constant confrontation. So then you kind of yeah. have to step up into that role and just say, you know, like, you know, I'm just to explain to you, obviously we've been in this room for however many hours.
Yes.
Things are going really well. I'm sure yeah. your colleagues just who's just handed over
yes.
has told you how well it's going.
Yeah.
And she just wants to keep things a little bit sort of quieter and a bit more hands off. Maybe maybe go through the birth preference.
I was gonna say, maybe just
would you like to read this?
That's it. I think that's a really good point there, Siobhan, to say we have written some birth wishes down. Would
yeah.
you like
would
me
you
to
like
go
to
through
read?
Them with
yeah.
you, or would you like to have a look
yeah.
at that?
I've had this situation, though, where unfortunately the shift chain comes as, you know, you're going into that second stage and you are starting to actively push.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult because I can see it from the midwife's point of view. She's coming fresh in.
Yes.
You know, yes, she's had a quick handover, but hasn't really had enough time to clinically go through how. So she's kind of assessing this situation
yeah.
as it's unfolding.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see why they might be a little bit like, oh, okay.
Let's just get this baby out
because I don't know what the backstory is.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, it's just about, you know what, maybe just explaining that the pushing's been going really well. And you know what I did do in that instance was bring the other midwife who was still in the room,
okay.
like she was kind of like getting her stuff ready
yes.
to leave. You know, and just saying, like, she's been pushing really well, hasn't she?
Okay.
Like, she was like, oh, yeah, it's going really well.
Yeah.
You know, just to sort of say,
yeah,
she's doing all right without
yeah.
you know, shouting push at her every 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's, do you know, that's something that I see often doulas asking, not just new doulas, but all doulas, like, what the hell do you do when the midwife is there going, push, 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 you know?
I'm often saying, like you said, I'm saying to my client, just tune out of the noise
yeah.
and listen to your body.
Yeah.
And I will say that out loud
yeah.
so that she can hear me saying it
yeah.
and hopefully
Yeah.
Somewhere we can meet in the middle.
And then it's a tricky one when your client's got an epidural. And then you don't actually usually feel when to push.
No, exactly. That's a different scenario. But yeah, I mean, if someone's walking into a birth where it's been physiological up to that point, and actually everything is going well.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's only just started actively pushing, so why are we screaming at her to take a deep breath and hold it?
Yeah. Yeah, so to summarise, basically, one of the things is to lower your own voice when you talk.
Mm.
That can lower, that psychologically challenges the other person. Present them with the birth preferences.
Yeah.
But also, like you say, speak to the client.
Yeah, find out what they want. Speak, you know, if there's a partner, if they've got a partner with them, speak to them and see what they think. And if need be, advocate.
Yeah. And you can, I mean, you can at that point still ask for a different midwife, but it's like your clients
You need to just give the midwife the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. She's just walked into the situation. So I think you just need to give her the opportunity.
Yes.
To just readdress the energy in the room.
Yeah.
Before saying, I don't want this midwife.
Yeah. And get comfortable with what you're doing in that room. Like, you know, there's so many highly medicalized births now that it might be, they might just be on autopilot because this is what you do
this
all
is
the
what
time.
You do, yeah.
And then you maybe just, she needs to take a moment to just, all right, this is.
Do you ever have this situation where, you know, you walk into a room or whatever, or a midwife walks in and switches the lights on.
Yes.
And then you sorry, we want those. I need to see what I'm doing.
Yes.
And then you say, well, actually, I've got a torch.
Yes.
No, I don't want a torch. Well, you just said you just needed light.
Yeah.
I've got light for you. That's not going to disturb anybody. That's quite difficult.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It is really. And sometimes even I've had the whole, but for health and safety, we need to have the light on because I can't see what I'm doing. I've had a midwife say that
to
me once.
How have you lost so many skills in your midwifery practice that you need to have a full set of strip lights on in a room? It is really, that's really sad.
I know.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It is sad. And yeah, these challenges come up for doulas all the time. And we just have to find the way to work with it.
I mean, it's great when you have a birth partner in the room who is quite happy to advocate for their partner.
Yeah.
But that isn't always the case.
No.
Some of them don't want to. They're dealing with their own stuff going on. They're a bit stressed themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the last thing they want to do is have that conversation. So sometimes we do have to advocate. So you just have to. It doesn't have to be confrontational. It's just,
no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that's given you all some food for thought. Now it's time for question time.
So this month we've had a question emailed in, actually.
Yes.
So do you want to read out the email, Kiki?
I will do. So this comes from a doula and she's asking, I had an inquiry about working nights and the client has made it very clear that they want me to stay awake all night, even if the baby stays asleep. I've never come across this before, so what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
What should she do? So you work as a nighttime doula. I haven't done much work as a nighttime doula.
I've never been asked to stay awake all night.
So what does that mean? So tell me about you as a nighttime doula. What time do you turn up?
10 o'clock.
And what do you do when you get there?
Well, we might talk about how the day's gone and answer any questions they've got around anything really about the baby. So that can sometimes take about an hour, depending on what they, you know, what they're asking. Sometimes nothing. Literally, you know, mum's fed baby and already gone off to bed.
Yeah.
And dad's just waiting for me to come in.
Yeah.
So it varies. But sometimes it'll be questions and then they will go off to bed and the baby will stay with me. And I will either give the baby a bottle of milk if you know, if the mum is expressing or choosing to use formula, or if choosing to breastfeed, then I will wake mum up to do the breastfeeds.
When the baby wakes up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And help support her while she's feeding.
And what do you do when the baby's sleeping?
I sleep.
So are these people that are asking you to stay, I mean, this doula, I'd be interested to find out. What's... Are they meant to stay up and do the ironing and clean the house?
I don't do any of that.
No, but is that what they are wanting? Like, if you are, I don't know, if you're working nighttime to help at nighttime, like, what do they want them to just sit straight up in a chair?
Yeah,
and look
maybe
at the baby.
Yeah, what I wonder what else is going on here. Yeah, are they expecting a full role of a daytime doula? I don't know. I mean, personally, I have it in my contract. It's very clear.
Yeah,
what my role is. My sole role as a nighttime doula.
Yeah.
Is to care for your baby.
Yeah,
I will. If I've used any equipment at all, I will have washed that and sterilized that.
Yeah.
Before I leave.
Yeah,
but that is. Or, you know, obviously I'll change the baby's nappy. Yes. And
what time do you leave in the morning? Six.
Six.
So you do 8 hours.
Yeah.
And so I would say to this doula that ask, what is it that they want you to do? I mean, I would not do that because a postnatal doula wouldn't do 10 hours anyway. As a postnatal doula, like during the day, because then you're kind of a nanny. You're there too much.
Mm.
You're actually taking over the care.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like an overlap. When you're a nighttime doula, you are obviously the sole care provider for the baby for 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But that means, I mean, surely you should be able to sleep when the baby sleeps.
Well, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I don't provide any other service. I mean, if it... I don't know anybody that does do anything.
Well, night nannies. If you're a night nanny, see, that's all you do. You're not a doula. You're a night nanny or a maternity nanny.
Yeah.
They sleep at night.
They sleep as well. Yeah. So this is, it is a bit odd.
Yeah.
If I was a parent, the last thing I want to hear is somebody downstairs, you know, clanging pots and pans together because they're empty in a dishwasher.
Exactly. Or walking around your house at night.
Yeah. No, I don't do any of that.
I think what you should do is decide think about this job very hard.
If it's not in your remit, then you just say to them, I'm sorry, that's not what I provide.
No.
Good luck with your search.
Yeah.
And
because I don't think there's anyone, as I said, working nights... That even if whatever you're working, I mean, I guess if you're a flight, like guiding flights in a tower, you might not be asleep at night.
It depends what you want. But, you know, for me to provide what I would provide in the daytime, as in being awake and helping with light housework and prepping food or walking your dog, you know, whatever I do as a daytime, I would be charging double the money.
Yeah.
So, and I doubt very much anyone would employ me as a nighttime doula if I charged double the price.
So that's a good idea. You could say, if I come and I'm a nighttime doula and I sleep when the babies sleep and help out during the feeds and everything, my rate is this much for 10 hours. If you want me to stay up, it's an hourly rate of this much. And then it's up to them.
Mm.
Then they can decide what they're going to do. And you're right, they're very unlikely going to hire you for...
I would stick on, as well as my night rate, I would stick on top of that my daytime hourly rate on top of that.
Okay.
Because you're asking me to do
nights.
A lot more
in
unsociable hours.
Yeah.
If I can get no sleep at all,
yes.
That means I cannot work at all the next day.
No.
Whereas if I do nights, usually I'll go home, have a little bit more sleep.
Yeah.
And then I potentially will do a postnatal job in the afternoon.
Yeah.
If I'm up all night, I can't do that. No. So somebody's going to have to pay the difference.
Good point. So hopefully that's helped you. And
I think it's not a common...
No.
It's not a common thing. So hopefully it wouldn't come up too often.
No. And I mean...
Be interested to know why.
Yes.
They want you to stay away.
Yes, is anyone apart from this doula have had this inquiry and found a way to deal with it?
Yeah, let us know.
Yes.
Email us or let us know on the Facebook page that we have. Be interesting to know. Ba-da-ba-da-bow.
The Doula Dose, your weekly dose of doula.
Thank you, Annabelle.
And we, it's Doula Dose. Dose of doula time.
Yeah, you normally say dose and doula quite a few times, don't you? In various ways.
Okay. Well,
this month's dose of doula.
Yes.
Doula dose is about picking your battles.
Yes.
So what do we mean by that? So knowing when to push back and when to stop focusing on the negatives and make the best of a situation. So what do we mean by that?
Oh, look at your face and glasses on, looking all very intelligent.
Perched on the end of my
nose. I don't
know
what I mean. what we mean is you are in a situation. So I actually went to birth recently and I was reminded of all these things where, you know, everything isn't exactly perfect. Maybe you're stuck in triage longer than you want to be. Mm-hmm. You wanting to go to the birthing center but being sent to the labor ward. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's just things that maybe the person that's looking after you, the midwives that are looking after you, isn't like as friendly as you'd like them to be. Or I don't know, lots of different things that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we, like our dilemma today.
Yeah.
So it can be easy to just start getting irritated with everything. As a doula,
yeah.
You start thinking, oh, for God's sake, it doesn't have to be like this. Oh, this is a joke. Why are they doing that? Why? And you get stuck in that negative loop in your head and you kind of forget about your clients a bit because you're like, you're doing it for your clients, but yeah. Actually, do they actually want you to do this? Like, have a look at your clients. What are they doing?
Yeah.
What are their mindset at? Because a woman in full-blown labor, you trying to argue about all the little nitty-picky things, sometimes it might not even be worth it. Like, oh, so what? We'll end up going to the labor ward instead of the birth center. It can still be a good birth.
Exactly. And I think also that also works when it comes to things like induction.
Yes.
I mean, yes, most people would want to avoid induction
yeah.
at all costs. But sometimes there gets to a point where, you know, you're being pushed back at quite hard by yeah. the healthcare professionals. And, you know, although you present clients with all the information
mm-hmm.
about the pros and cons of,
yes.
of, you know, induction, perhaps for something like post-dates.
Yeah.
You know, in the middle of all that is this scared person.
Yes.
Who's like, I don't know, you know, everything in my fibre is telling me this is wrong, but in the back of my head, I'm niggling.
Yeah.
Should I do this? So sometimes as a doula, you just need to, as we say, pick your battles. You need to know when to just stop.
Yeah.
And actually, let's focus on what we can make positive.
Yes.
Rather than focusing on... So, like, stop focusing on the things that we can't control.
Yes, exactly.
And start focusing on what we can control.
Yeah, and take notice of your own need to control. Like, yeah. Because it is, isn't it? This whole thing of...
You can spiral.
Yeah.
But also, so can clients.
Yes.
Sometimes clients can get so stuck in that, no, yeah. I'm not doing this. It's, yeah. I will battle. And sometimes you just need to say, take a breath.
Yeah.
Let's look at how we can make this not such a great situation. Let's look at what positives we can take yes. from it. What can we bring in to make it more positive?
Yeah.
So like you say, if the birth centre is shut
yeah.
and you've got to go to the labour ward and they don't have pools
yeah.
and that was what you wanted,
yes.
you know, okay, let's use the shower.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get, you know, get that same relief for yeah. you in that shower. You know, let's turn the lights off in the room. Let's
yeah.
try and make it as tranquil as we possibly can. Yeah. Let's ask for a room at the end of the labour ward yeah. away from the desk so it's not so noisy.
Yeah.
Let's remind all the staff that come into this room that your preference was to have, you know, a low intervention,
yes.
Hands-off birth.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's quite easy, isn't it, to get spiralled.
Yeah.
You spiral when you yeah. focus on those negatives.
Yeah. And then, like you say, setting up the birthing environment, we can do that anywhere.
Yeah.
You can do that in a room in the triage if
yeah.
unless you're in a behind the curtain.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to try and turn things around. So you try with some pushback, but if it's still a no.
Yeah, you need to know when to.
Exactly. Because
just stop. Yeah.
Exactly. Because keeping going, it's
exhausting.
It
for
is.
For everybody.
And also you'll take a look at your clients and they're like, you know, it unsettles them.
Yeah, it's draining
yeah.
for them as well. And
yeah.
also, it just creates more fear.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's that loss of control, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And we know that it's going to be pretty much hard to control a birth when you go into a hospital. You have some more control in your own house.
Yeah.
But the majority of the birth we do support are you know, in hospital settings. And then you are, it's not, I mean, we all know, yes, you have the right to do and say and get what you want, but having the right to do so, it doesn't mean you're going to have that.
It's not always, you know, what you can do. Yes, of course, you can always push back on everything, yes. But, you know, the reality can be very different.
Yes.
It's about looking at trying to make the best of a bad situation. As you say, yes, push back as much as you can, but when you can see you're up against a brick wall, your focus then needs to turn around on, okay, how do we make this shit show shine?
Yeah.
Basically.
Polish this turd.
How do we polish this turd? How do we roll this turd in glitter and make it all nice and shiny?
I think that's such a brilliant English thing to say. Polish the turd. Absolutely. And also checking in with your clients. How do you feel? I mean, this is the situation. Let's just make the best of it, shall we?
Yeah.
So your team, you're like team working together. Yeah, we're going to have the baby and we're going to make this the best we can. So.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good dose of doula.
Yeah, just knowing, pick your battles, isn't it? Yeah. Again, it's about reading the room.
Yeah.
And knowing when you have to just accept defeat, maybe a bit of a strong
I think term, it's surrender to the situation,
surrender
I say.
To it, focus on the controllables.
Exactly. Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Well.
That's the end of the show.
It is. Then that was a little short, snappy first episode
it was
for
quick,
you.
Quick, punchy.
Yeah,
back in there.
Want to get you in? We're warming up.
We're warming up. That's
warming
it.
Up our aging bodies.
Yeah, on this cold, frosty day.
Siobhan can hardly walk today.
Yeah, I'm in pain.
She's been exercising
for the first time in a long time.
Well, it's the first month of the year. We all start doing things, setting new habits. I am.
I do set new habits, but a bit of a slow starter because where are we? What date are we on?
Is it the
17th today? Yeah, we're recording this on.
Yeah.
So yesterday, 16th, was my first day of my kind of new year, new me. So it was a bit of a slow start for me.
2 weeks to get into
two
the
weeks
new year.
To kind of, I'm like a tortoise just trying to come out the shell.
Yeah.
But I can't be bothered.
It's always good though, like slow and steady.
Slow and steady wins the race.
That's it.
Please God.
And we've had a really exciting morning as well. We have been, we are being interviewed.
We were interviewed this morning for another podcast.
Yes.
So we were interviewed by Leo, who is a journalist.
Yes, he's a journalist, and he's making a podcast for an American organization, which I cannot remember the name
can
of.
I'm sitting here trying to remember the name of it. But it's all to do with evolution.
Yeah, and the evolution of motherhood. And we've been asked to contribute.
Can you believe that? Little old us. We're asked for our contributions.
Little old us. And we will mention this again in future podcasts because they're not coming up until June.
They'll come out. Yeah.
And then we will have more information. But it was really quite exciting. Yeah. And we were looking at other... we were looking at gorillas, what they were doing.
We were talking about the role of a postnatal doula and the impact that can have on, you know, the mental health and just starting the family. That was really interesting, wasn't
it? It was.
Yeah.
We apparently it's an American organisation that's very similar to the Science Museum.
That's right. It is the Science Museum for America, isn't it?
So it's a scientific organisation and we have just...
Perimenopausal heads can't remember the name.
No, but we will be able to tell you. It was short.
That was good. That was this morning. That was
very
really
exciting.
And what have you got coming up for the rest of the
month? Oh, this month, doula courses. I've got a doula course coming up.
Have you got a doula course?
Oh, yeah, doula course.
Really?
Got a doula course in London.
Oh,
next
London
week.
Town.
London Down on the 23rd. Of January.
Fantastic.
And then I got another doula course virtually online. Those of you in the rest of the world, come and join the doula course.
Could do that from anywhere in the world, as long as maybe some places, obviously it would mean getting up in the middle of the night.
But we do, you know, the last taster session we did, we had people from Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh, yeah.
From New Zealand.
Yeah.
And from Scotland. And from the UK.
Yes.
Yeah, it was really very exciting. So, yeah, that course is over a weekend. So
you've got a busy month.
I have. What about you? What are you doing?
I'm going to give a talk to student midwives.
Wow.
At Hertfordshire University.
Very good.
About the importance of language.
Yes.
You know, and how they should always, in every bit of their practice, put the birthing person at the centre of their care. And really just playing out some scenarios to show them the impact some quite off-the-cuff remarks can have.
Yeah.
So,
that sounds good.
I'm really scared.
Aww, you'd be great.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it will be wonderful.
Quite like hiding here behind the microphone rather than standing in front of a whole lot of year three students.
Okay, I see. But do you have any other plans? Have you got any births booked or anything
I've got a birth coming up.
Tell me what you're doing.
I have a birth coming up. I've got some nights and I've got some postnatal day work starting as well. Yeah, and that's it really.
That sounds great.
Still keeping my swimming going.
Yeah, good. Well, sounds like you've got a busy month ahead then. But we should be back here. We should be back with you next month to record another podcast. And until then, we'll see you next month.
Listeners should always do their own due diligence on any information received from these discussions to form their own opinions and best judgments. In preparing this podcast, we have endeavoured to offer current, correct and clearly expressed information aimed at our audience. However, we make no claims that the information will be accurate, complete or current at all times, and we accept no liability for any reliance placed by any person on this information. We make no representations or warranties of any kind about the suitability, reliability, timeliness and accuracy of the information contained herein.